once again, I thank you for the opportunity to bring to you another portion of God's Word. I'd like to start off with the passages out of Isaiah. Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When you consider the power, the all-knowing capability of God, you would think that people would acquiesce to the words of the Lord. But given history, we see that people still go their own way. The Lord does not do things like we would. Consider the commandment of the Lord here in Exodus, the 20th chapter. Turn over there. Exodus 20, beginning at verse 24. Beginning at 24, it says, an altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone or uncut stone. For if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. I've read these passages many times, but I never really stopped to think about what this means. Now Israel had escaped the tyranny of Egypt, and God gave them the Ten Commandments through Moses. He gave them these instructions to make altars. These altars would be earthen altars primarily, but stone altars were accepted, but they must be uncut stones. In the past, God has specifically given detailed instructions about how certain things were to be built. In Noah, the 6th chapter, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width 50 cubits. Its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Now the Exodus also gives us specific instructions about the tabernacle, the bronze altar, the court, the type of wool for the lamp, the priest's garments, and other things, quite specific and elaborate. But why these instructions about altars? Now, altars are very common in the Bible. We know in Genesis 8 that Noah built an ark to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre in Hebron and built an altar there to the Lord. God said to Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. In Exodus, we know that Moses built an altar and called his name, the Lord is my banner. But why did God command earth or uncut stones? People build things according to how they think. If you were to ask me and Jeff here to build a chair, I might build it one way. Not very good, but I might build it. And Jeff, being the artist he is with wood, would make it certain ways. So we have different ways that we'd approach building a chair. People trim, they arrange, they get creative, depending on their lifestyle and their thinking. Stone shaped by tools emphasize human skill and craftsmanship. Worship should be based on God's direction, not human innovation. The use of uncut stone reflects the true nature of worship, aligned with God's will in His holiness, His purity, in our efforts to approach God. Using tools would profane the worship with human need to be creative. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, he says, but I fear lest somehow as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And since the establishment of the church, men have tried or succeeded to change the gospel message, to change how we worship, to change how people were to be saved, to change how the church is organized, and much, much more. It seems that authority is not readily accepted. Some people want to rebel against any and all authority. We see that today. This includes government authority, parental authority, as children become more disrespectful and rebellious, and even violent towards to their parents. I saw this as a teacher. I had a parent-teacher conference. My mother came in. She was a single mom. She had a conference with her son. Her son was like 14, big, strapping young man. The mother came in with bruises and a black eye. Her son beat her up. Okay? And that's the kind of things that some people face. Okay? Some people, kids, reject parental authority. Some, and this also includes the rejection of and rebellion against spiritual authority. And more people refuse to consider what God says about the matter pertaining to everyday life. But this isn't new. We see many examples in the scriptures. In the New Testament, we read about the false teachers. But what most concerning is the attitude. They want to do things their own way, not God's way. To be a Christian means to humble yourself and to submit, to do it God's way. There are many Christians who believe in doing things their way. To be honest, once again, this isn't new. If you talk to people about the gospel, you will encounter people that want to do things their way, to interpret the scriptures to suit their own needs or opinions. Consider some of their ways. They sprinkle instead of immersion. They partake of the Lord's Supper only on special occasions. They substitute graham crackers and sodas for the Lord's Supper. Janice said that they did that in the Methodist church where she was at. They introduce instrumental music to replace a cappella or voices only. Women preachers, they accept homosexuality. They consider premarital sex and adultery as acceptable. And many, many other things. The Bible has some interesting things to say about the difference between doing things their way and doing things God's way. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I'm reminded of King Saul, who was told by the prophet Samuel to fight against the Amalekites and destroy all that they have. And Samuel telling Saul what God instructed in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. First Samuel 15, beginning at verse 3. It says, now go and attack Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, oxen, sheep, camel, and donkey. Boy, that sounds specific, doesn't it? Everything's to be destroyed. But in verse 9 it says, but Saul and people spared Agag, who was the king, and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to destroy them, but everything despised and worthless, they destroyed. However, Saul wanted to do it his way. You've heard this. Everyone's doing it. Every parent's probably heard that statement from their children. Saul was influenced by the people over God's commandment. Consider man's thinking. Why destroy all this good livestock? Yeah, and Saul think, well, I can sacrifice it to God. Samuel came, speaking to King Saul in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter 19, says, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down the spoil and do evil in the sight of God? But Saul rationalized that the livestock was to be sacrificed for the Lord. Isn't that what people do? They rationalize when they want to do it their way. The service sounds so much better when we use instruments when they're added to the worship. I've heard that many, many times. They want to do it their way because they want to hear the music, the instruments. But Samuel responded and said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." We know God left Saul, and Samuel anointed David to replace him. In Proverbs, the third chapter. And these are important verses that we should all reflect upon. Proverbs, the third chapter, beginning at verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Own understanding. "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." So the question is, who do you want directing your life? If you were to invest had a large amount of money, who would you choose to help you invest it? Some money manager or some accountant? If you feel sick with some weird symptoms, you probably want to consult a doctor. But if your desire is to make it to heaven, to avoid the lake of fire, you probably want to consult with God. Okay? Because God is there to help you finish the race. Then, if we want God to direct our path, we need to seek his will and do things his way. Consider Moses. Now, we know that Moses was very special in the eyes of God, since he was chosen to lead the Hebrews out of slavery to the Promised Land. But even Moses had doubts and concerns. The people continually grumbled and complained. They questioned if Moses and Aaron were the right people to lead them. Isn't it natural when someone questions whether or not you should be the leader? Question them. Question your abilities, that you want to prove yourself. In Numbers 20, the Israelites had come to the wilderness of Zin. But there was no water as expected. And the people grumbled, of course. That's what they did. They grumbled. So God told Moses to speak to a rock in front of them, and water would come out of the rock. But Moses got angry at the complaining people and struck the rock out of anger instead of speaking to it. People might view this act by Moses as a minor thing, but God viewed it very seriously. So he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. What's the big deal? You've heard that. What's the big deal? In Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, he says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." Now, we might sympathize with Moses and understand why he did what he did, but that still does not make it right. God expects his words, expects to be obeyed in all things that he commands us. Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So let's consider today. We profess to be a New Testament congregation, part of the universal church that Christ established. That means we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And you all know this one, maybe some by heart. 2 Timothy 3:16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Let me repeat that. Complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All we need is the Word of God. With the Scriptures, we have everything that we need. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, if you'd like to turn over there. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoken as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Now we know in Deuteronomy it says, do not add to the word or take away from it. Revelation also says, do not add to these things, because God will add plagues to them. Okay? If anyone takes away from the words, God shall take away his part from the book of life. In Malachi 3:6, listen to this one. This is very short. Malachi 3:6. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. We've all heard people, well, that book is old, it's 2,000 years old. We need to update it, do things this way. Okay? We have television, we have internet, we have electricity. Let's do it, make it more modern. But God has said in his word, things that are right, things that are wrong. As Christians, we know that some things are right and some things are wrong. But we are tempted at times to go our own way, just like Moses said. And don't we do that as young people? Mom said do this, but I don't like that. I'm going to do it my way, right? We've probably all done that. But we are tempted to do these things our way, the real question is, do we give in to the temptation like Moses did, or do we resist it? The question each of us must decide. God doesn't speak to us today like he did in the past through prophets, but God has spoken to us through his word. So who do we choose, to do things God's way, or the way he says to do them in the word, or do we choose to do things our way? For example, God says in the Bible to resist sin, to strive to be righteous, to be holy. Or do we tolerate sin in our lives, thinking it isn't such a big deal? Do we make excuses like, I'm only human, or everybody does it? If we aren't resisting sin in our lives, and if we are doing it our way, we are not doing it God's way. God says that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. This means everyone. Or do we pick and choose whom to love and whom to hate? Do we all treat all people decently and fairly? Do we judge people based upon their looks, their political party, or other biases? Do we do things our way, or we do them God's way? God says that we're to be committed to our Lord and Savior. Or are we only committed when it's convenient? Only on Sunday are we committed when someone else is watching? We can continue many more examples. Every one of us faces the temptation to do things our way instead of God's way. Frank Sinatra. And the young people go, who? He was a famous singer in the 40s and 60s, singer and actor. One of his most popular songs was done in 1967. He says, I did it my way. Listen to some of the lyrics. And now the end is near, so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I travel each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. When we do things our way, we reject the authority of God. God takes this type of disrespect towards him very seriously. In John the 14th chapter, if you'd like to look over there. John the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Everyone faces the temptation to do things our way instead of God's way. Consider David. Turn to Psalms, the 25th chapter. Psalms 25, I'm going to start at verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Verse 12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. Verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And turn to Psalms 18. Here David is speaking. He says, verse 21. For I kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. So what is the way of the Lord? Turn to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Matthew 22, verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hopes that is in you with meekness and fear. And as Christians, we are to strive for maturity. Philippians 3:15 says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. It says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The way of the Lord is a path that requires trust, obedience, relationship, and submission to our Lord Jesus Christ. No creed but the Bible. Speak where the Bible speaks, and silent where the Bible silent. Selective obedience is disobedience. You just cannot pick and choose what you want to obey and what you want to disobey. In John, the 12th chapter, you've read this before, John 12, verse 48. John 12, 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. The Bible, those words will judge you in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. For I know that his command is everlasting life. Everlasting life comes through the word. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Through the scriptures, believers are encouraged to walk in his way, trusting in God's guidance and living in accordance with his will. Robert Frost is an American poet, wrote a poem called The Road Not Taken. He said, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the road less traveled by, and that made all the difference. Throughout our life, we have choices. We have to choose. Which way will we choose? Which way will we follow? My way or God's way? Who will we let decide, me or God? Will we do things my way or God's way? In a world, many choose not to take the road less traveled, but instead, they choose the broad way. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And these are many who go in by it. If we choose the way of the Lord, it makes all the difference. Just like the altars that God commanded, we are to be like uncut stones, not polluted with the carnal world, but striving to be pure and true in our worship of God and in our lives. Romans 12:1, if you'd like to look there. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Consider what God has said in the first chapter, first book of Psalms. He said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. In Jeremiah the 6th chapter, if you'd like to look there. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. In Psalms 119, it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Finally, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. If you need help to find that road, that path, we're here to help you. Choose the way to live it. Consider these things as we stand aside.